Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
I don't know if you watch this television program on History Channel, but for some reason my wife and I really, really like this program. It's called Alone. Has anybody seen this program on television? It's called Alone. The reason my wife and I were actually discussing this past week, why I like it, is because no one removes them from the game. They don't lose. They remove themselves, and you see, as a person that deals with those types of things often, you see that personal inner struggle that they're having with. Well, some of them get hurt and they tap out, but the overwhelming majority of them start crying like babies when they start thinking about their family. Oh, I miss my family. And you don't want to make fun of them, but you knew what you were getting into. The premise of the story is this. They drop you off in the middle of nowhere. There's 10 people, if you don't know. There's 10 people. It's for, I think it's $1 million this year is what they're going to win. And it's last man standing. Except for this season, it's whoever makes it 100 days. But it's really quite crazy because they're in the Arctic Circle, and it's 3 months. Over 3 months, and it's starting to get cold, and it doesn't eventually end up getting cold in all of these seasons, and they are just alone. I mean, you don't hear another human voice for months on end, and they really start to go stir crazy when they don't have companionship. And God says in Genesis chapter 1, when he made the light, he says at the end of that, verse 4, he says, God saw the light, and it was good. Then he produced the land, the vegetation in verse 12 and 13, the plants bearing seeds, all kinds of things according to their kind. God saw the plants and he said, oh, that's good. In verse 16 of Genesis 1, God made the two great lights to govern the day, which is interesting. I always like reminding myself that God didn't make light didn't make the sun, moon, and the stars until the third day, but he created light on the first day. So he created something to hold the light on the third day, which is super cool. And then in verse number 18, at the end of that, God saw that, and he said, boy, that's good too. Genesis chapter 1, then he created all the creatures of the sea and every living, moving thing on the waters teemed according to their kinds and every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw all that stuff, and he says, oh, boy, that's good. In Genesis chapter 1:25, made the animals according to their kind and the livestock, so he made the fish, and now he's making all the animals of the ground, the creatures that move along the ground according to their kind. God saw all of those things. He said, boy, that's good. Then comes day number 6, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 and 18. The Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. I think it's interesting to note, as a side note, that God had work for us to do even before the fall. There's stuff for us to do. And there'll be things for us to do in heaven too. That's another sermon. Then verse number 18, the Lord God said, it is not good. Wait a second. Everything up to this point has been wonderful. And he created man. He says, that's not good. And it's not that he said it's not good because man's not good. He says, it's just not good that this one is alone. So what he made wasn't bad. It just wasn't good that we were alone. And so today I want to remind you that you're not alone. You are not alone on this journey. The wisest person ever to live, of course, was King Solomon. That was about 900 BC. And he said back in Ecclesiastes 4, and of course, this is during the 900 BC, we weren't taking Ubers anywhere, right? We were walking everywhere. We were on animals and we were traveling like that. And this is what he said, very wise. He says, two are better than one. He's primarily talking about traveling. He says, if one falls down, you're gonna have somebody to pick them back up. And if you, at night, you can lay with that person and stay warm. And verse 12, and the one, when you get overpowered, two can defend themselves, and even a three-strand cord is not quickly broken. So he understood that on a journey, it's not good to be alone. And that's the test of this television program, is to be alone. But all throughout the Bible, God says, not a good idea to be alone. Solomon says, not a good idea to be alone. Have someone traveling with you. Now, I have not been dropped off on an island in the middle of nowhere and had to deal with being alone, but in that show, just last night, we were watching it, and this guy finds a dead, dried up musk ox head with some of the fur and everything still on. But you know how it looks like a water buffalo a little bit and has those curly horns. And he says this thing weighs about 50, 60 pounds. It's huge. And the head's, you know, size of a couple basketballs. And he decided to befriend, anybody see this? He decided to befriend this dead musk ox head. And he sticks it on a pole right in front of the lean-to where he's sleeping. And he begins having conversations with this dead musk ox because he doesn't want to go crazy. Since we are in this building, changing horses here, since we're in this building, we don't have offices here. Everybody works from home. And there's nobody else at my home except my dog. My dog and I have great conversations. If she could only speak, she'd be a wonderful theologian. And she'd probably tell you some things about how crazy she thinks I am. But my dog and I mean, we're tight. We're inseparable. We spend all day together. And I said, her name's Zoe. I said, Zoe, come on, let's go. She just knows exactly what we're doing, where we're going. We just have, and I have conversation. Anybody else talk to their dog? Because you're not alone. When you're alone, you're not really alone because you got your dog. I don't suspect any of you have a dead musk ox head somewhere in your home. There's a man by the name of Chuck, and he worked for FedEx. Will that even stay there? I don't know. Anybody seen this movie? Chuck, you worked for FedEx. And he found a washed up Wilson volleyball. And he had just cut his hand, right? And so he had touched this volleyball with his hand after he had unboxed it. And then he sat down and I watched it just this past week in preparing for it. He just drew the two little eyes and had a little tissue or something. And he did the mouth. And that little volleyball, Wilson, stayed with him the whole show. Well, remember he got the rope, and I mean, he'd always talk to Wilson. Wilson always seemed to have really good ideas. And I read some psychological papers on it. He was really projecting himself of, you know, as a part of Chuck himself. And it was this, and he just, about how, in fact, the gentleman who wrote the screenplay, wrote the movie for Castaway in preparation for that movie, deserted himself on an island south of California in the Sea of Cortez, stuck himself on an island to research, true story, to research before he wrote, sit down to write the movie, and he stabs a stingray and ate stingray. He learned how to open a coconut with his bare hands, and he found a volleyball on the beach in the Sea of Cortez. It was a Wilson volleyball, and that's how the story was born. Isn't that cool? Anyways, they only give me 30 minutes now, so I miss telling you little stories like that. That's so fun. So, but it's interesting that we have to be with somebody. This idea, well, I'm a loner. Well, you're a loner until you fall down and you need somebody to help pick you up. I really wish that would stay there. Let's see if he'll stay here. Ah, can y'all see Wilson? Okay, I want to make sure that in case he has something to say, you can hear him. So here's the reality. We all need other people in our lives. You may not like that, but that's the way God made you. The point is that you're on this journey and you're not alone. I thought about journeys and being alone. I thought, who in the Bible took journeys? Paul took 4 missionary journeys. I'm not here to regale you with all the details of each of those, but on the first missionary journey, he took Barnabas, Mark, and John, and that's in Acts 13 through 15. Second missionary journey, he took Silas, Timothy, Priscilla, and Aquila. Third journey, he took Timothy, Luke, and some other disciples. And then finally, on his fourth journey into Rome, he took Luke, some Roman guards, and some other people. If you do the entire list, which we don't have time for, there are 35 people during the course of those journeys that Paul traveled with. He never, ever traveled alone. So I looked to Jesus' life. There were times he pulled away for quiet times, right? But he always traveled with somebody. If it wasn't the 12, who was it? The 3, Peter, James, and John. Hey, guys, come on. Let's go. We're going to do this together. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be a lot easier if you didn't have to travel with people? Come on now. Right? I mean, it'd be so less exasperating. I guess that would be a nice way to say it, right? Just think of how much faster you could travel. How fast you could travel. If you want to travel fast, travel alone. If you want to go far, travel with a group. Wait a second. God said, it's not good that man should be alone. Solomon said, it's not good that you should be alone. But as I thought on this, I really came to a eureka. And that was, I think, one of the reasons, there's multiple reasons, Solomon gave some of them, God gave some. As I thought about it, I thought one of the main things that really impact you when you travel with other people is all of a sudden there are other needs in the car besides yours. Didn't I tell you to go potty before we left? Huh? Amen. Could it be that God said, we're going to do this thing called life together? I started quoting Prince there for a second. You remember that? This thing called life. Anyway, so we're going to do this thing called life together, and one of the byproducts is it's going to poke you right in your selfishness. It does me. Because I have a plan. Those are the radio stations I want to listen to. God bless my mom and dad. They both smoked when I was a kid. Go on a vacation with two smokers in the front seat and the windows up. So when you're in community, is what I want you to know, there are other needs present besides your own. On this journey, you're not alone, and neither are they. Right? 1 Corinthians 13, love is, there they all go, da, 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 da. Love is, verse 5, not rude and is not selfish. 2 Timothy 3:2, people are to be, in the last days, be lovers themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful. 1 John 3:17, if anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in him? Galatians, it's going to get thick here. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. Oh. I mean, don't you just want to put blinders on sometimes? I don't want to see all that. I don't want to see the lady with a handwritten sign sitting out in front of Walmart. I don't want to see it. And then do I want to mock them? Do I want to ridicule them? Do I want to question them? Or do I want to have compassion? Though I may not have something to give them, do I just scoff at them or do I pray God bless them? I mean, if you don't have a dollar to give them, could you, next time, when you pass one of those people on South Grand, South and 5th Street, South and 6th Street, anyone, wherever, they're all over. Could you please just pray a blessing over them? See? Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should not look only to your own interests, but to the interests of others. So, here's the twofold application, and we'll go home. Number one, we all are here for you. And everybody goes, oh, that's right. But here's the other side of here's the other side of the knife, the other blade. You're all here for me. You're all here for David. You're all here for Joni. You're all here for Donovan. We're all here for somebody other than ourselves. Now you're here for, hopefully for yourself, to get something out of the day. But if you come on in with only a take mentality, you're a loser. You're just a leech. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Pastor's throwing out bubble gum and lollipops this morning. No, you gotta come with the mentality that I have something to contribute. as well. Now, either extreme is not good, if not healthy, giver and taker. If all you do is take, those around you quickly figure that out. You're just a black hole. We dump stuff in and nothing ever comes back out. On the other hand, I've also seen those that have a Messiah complex. We're going to solve everybody's problem. We're going to fix everything. And what that does, it drains you. You can't be the extreme of either of those. In a community like we're in here today, there's no judgment for asking for help. And these are difficult days. There's no judgment in asking for help. You know why I know that? It's because love triumphs over judgment. That's what the Bible says. So we love you, and we want to help you as a church. But you've got to want to help the church. You've got to be, there's part and parcel of each of those for us to do here today. There's no judgment in asking for help. No, there's no criticism. I mean, my daughter, my son-in-law asked me for help. I'm, no, your family asks you for help. You don't. I mean, there's unhealthy things, obviously, right? But if your family asks you for help, you're gonna help them as best you can. And the Bible says even more to the family of God. So we're here to help one another. Wilson says you're not alone. You don't have to be alone. So, will you join the community? Why would you do that? Well, it'll keep your selfishness intact. Keep it at bay. And that's a tough one. It's a tough one to keep there, isn't it? I mean, me, mine, and our. Me, mine, ours. I want this. I. But us. And I'm thrilled. This is really a good crowd here today. I'm glad we put the full 200 seats out today. It's good to be back together as a family. It's something that just doesn't happen looking at a monitor. It just doesn't happen. Someone said, well, you know, church is just like, you know, you can go to church on, yeah, I totally get it. And there's people watching online and they'll always watch online because of distance or whatever. They don't feel healthy to come back in here. I get it. And there's no judgment there. But I'm telling you, there's something that happens when the body assembles itself. It's like I can watch a video of a fireplace. And I can appreciate the beauty that is that fire roaring in that hearth. But it's something different when you're there, isn't it? And so thanks for being here today. Those that aren't, we invite you. We're trying to be as healthy and as safe as we possibly can. You're part of the family. We're all part of this family together. And believe me, in these last days, as persecution continues to mount, let me just forewarn you, because to be forewarned is to be forearmed, the persecution is not going to get less. Christianity is one of the next targets on the list. I'm just telling you. So it keeps your selfishness in check. Solomon said it's a good idea to travel with someone. Why? Because if you fall down, you got somebody to pick you up. If someone comes to beat you up and rob you, you got somebody there to help you. And then God said, which I think is the pinnacle of the argument, God said, it's not good for you to be alone. Otherwise, you'll be walking through Walmart with Wilson under your arm. Probably have to put a little mask on him. I should have put a little mask on him. I bet the Cook family could use a volleyball. Let me just give you that one. I'm thinking of it right now. There you go. When you got a dozen kids, it's nice to have an extra volleyball. Well, now you got... Oh, she just asked for one. Awesome. Wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So you got, at least you don't have another mouth to feed. Another mouth to feed, though. It's just a pretend person. So the call this morning for us is do community together. We'd like to say at Destiny, we have real, relevant relationship. But relationship is a two-way street. We want to love you. When I say we, collectively, that's the church. We're here to help you as best we can. Some of you are going through some really tough times right now, and my heart goes out to you. Don't be ashamed to ask. We're here to help as best we can. And those of you who have something to give, give it. Give it in the offering. Let me know. Hey, listen, there was somebody just last week said, hey, I got a really nice, awesome, nearly brand new, whatever. There's somebody I'm sure that needs it. We put out some feelers, made a phone call, boom, made the connection. So do your part. Be in the community. Yes, we're in the community at large. But this is, I'll tell you what, when it all hits the fan, we're in this room together. Oh no, what are we going to do? Let's get to church. We're going to be together. Okay? So why don't you stand with me, and I want to pray for you this morning. I mean, I actually went to a Connect group last night myself. Was out with Chuck and Christine out at their house. So if you're not involved in a Connect group, try to get connected. I know you got friends at work. I know you got friends in other places and so forth. But in the family of believers, maybe not necessarily in this church, but other believers, you got to get connected. Otherwise, you're going to look really silly talking to your dog all the time. Or when you need someone to pick you up because you fell in a hole and you call out and no one answers because you're not connected to anybody. You're not connected to everybody. Or when the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and you don't seem to have the power to withstand the enemy yourself, call your friend. Get on the prayer line. Start. And those people are there for you. Why? Because you were there for them when they fell in the hole. See? And when they were assaulted. My heart is warmed. I'm encouraged. These are great days for the church. These are golden opportunities for the church to arise. So make yourself at home here. At home. Seriously. Okay. This is not that. The church is not how the world operates. So we love you. We're here for you. Through your hard times, your difficulties, your physical sickness, your financial struggles, your struggles with your marriage as best we can. And then together we can do a lot more than we can as individuals. Whether it's supporting something like Beer Lehigh Roy. I mean, we tell women, have your babies, don't abort your babies, but then they don't have any place to live because their family kicked them out. That's what Beer Lehigh Roy does. It's a home for those ladies. Just one of many ways that you can give. And so, and let me tell you, every dollar that you sow in the kingdom is one that never burns. Lord, we thank you for this gathering this morning. And if you're here today, every head bowed and eye closed, and you're away from God and you're ready to come back home to a safe place, to a helping place, to a place where there is forgiveness, no judgment, where there is love and understanding, a family, just lift your hand to heaven right now. Father, these that are coming home to you today, we just wrap our arms around them, Lord, and pray in the name of Jesus that you would sweep right into their life. Just surrender your heart right now to Jesus. Just say, Father, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I need your help. I am weak, but you are strong. I receive your peace right now. I just break off. There's people here this morning that are, just have some like weight on your shoulders like bricks. If that's you, just step out to this altar real quick down front. I just really sense you need to have those things broken off your shoulders. It's just too heavy for you. You've been trying to carry it yourself. Just come to the front if there's anybody at all. And they're just really heavy burdens. See, don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. You're not embarrassed to go to the doctor or ashamed to go to the doctor. Jesus is here. Can I have some Connect group leaders, some leadership in the church, some pastors and staff come and just begin to pray for these people? Just like family, see? Just like family. We're going to bear your burden with you. Right? We're going to stand with you in faith and believe. Believe with you. See, you're not alone. You don't have to carry it alone. You're not alone on this journey. You're not alone. What a beautiful, beautiful reality. Justin just discovered he's got cancer. Would some people come down and lay hands on Justin? Praise the Lord. Healed in the name of Jesus. Strength and power. Hey, Jim, come on down here. You had some good reports with your cancer. It's a struggle you've been on. I want you to pray for Justin. Would you just lay your hands on him? See, when somebody's been through something, you know what I'm saying? That prayer is really, really a good prayer. That's Justin right there. For each of these needs, Lord, we just lift them up to you. And you may have a need standing where you're at. That's fine. Just lift your hand to heaven. Father, every need here this morning, we collectively come like a safety net right underneath. You're not going to fall. You're not alone. You are 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 not alone. If you have the gift of speaking in other tongues, maybe just pray a prayer in the Spirit right now too, just right where you're at. If not, you're still praying in the Spirit. You're saying, Father, bring healing, bring deliverance, bring provision. Can you pray for these people that are in the front like it was your mom or your dad? Would you pray for them like that? Just intercede. Bear one another's burdens. Just pick somebody out that's standing up here and pray for them. Earnestly. The power of God on display. It's not the power of prayer, it's the power of God that's activated through prayer. Like the worship chorus we sang this morning, the Levitical blessing, Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the peace of God go with you this week. May you realize that as you travel and things get hairy and difficult, you are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. You folks in the altar, stay here as long as you'd like. The rest of y'all, would you turn to somebody before you go home today and tell them, you are not alone. Maybe give them a hug or a handshake if they'll let you, if that's socially acceptable. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Those of you viewing online, you're not alone. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.